Well, just when I thought that I understood the concept of hope, what your bulletin has in bold letters right in the middle of the front, just when I thought I got it, I decided this week to do a little research on the internet. And Googled hope seemed like a good place to start. So as I Googled hope, of course, I was overwhelmed with how much came back, as you would expect. Then I was intrigued. I, frankly, about halfway down the first page of hits, was a site that intrigued me. So I went to it. And when I went there, I was captured by this appeal. I wrote it down. Please help us spread the word of hope far and wide. I thought, wow, so far so good. I like that. It's inviting me to join this group and to spread the word of hope far and wide. I thought, man, that's good. You got me. And then I went on to read. It even gave on their website some suggestions for ways to get the word out. Hey, count me in. Man, that's creative. There's some ideas, some suggestions on how to go out with this word of hope. Then I looked a little closer and discovered a whole new meaning to this sacred word. Turns out HOPE is an acronym for an internet group. Hackers on Planet Earth. H-O-P-E. I read further. I was just laughing like you did out loud, thinking, you're kidding me. And they were promoting their sixth annual Hackers Conference in New York City. So there you have it. You've all been invited. I've got the word out. Are you kidding me? I just thought, wow, that's a creative acronym. Not exactly a spiritual gathering. I want you to contrast that with words from the Bible. Only I don't want to just read them. I want you to follow along. You don't have to reach for a Bible this morning. I'll make it real simple for you. These are taken from the Bible, and they're on the last two pages of print in the bulletin you were handed. If you'd reach for that and turn to the title of my Easter message, Hope is Alive, Jesus Saves, you'll be looking at the words from the New Testament, words from God for a world like ours. These words contain in them a critical linkage. I tell you that because as I read them and you follow along, I want you to see if you don't notice this as you read carefully, this critical linkage that I'm talking about. So from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So, did you hear the linkage? I tried to read it with punctuation. By the way, you're free to circle. This is yours to take with you. So reach for a pen because I want you to circle the linkage. It is everything, not only about my message, but about how it will plug and play and become part of your life, just like it's becoming part of my life. Circle the linkage, living hope. That's it. That's where it starts in this paragraph. Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The core truth and teaching of Easter. Jesus rose from the dead. Hope is alive. I read an imaginary story by an author that some of you are quite familiar with. Perhaps you've read plenty from him. If you haven't, may I suggest the author Max Lucado to you. He wrote a book, many books, Amazing Insights, of biblical truths like the one we're looking at this morning. And he takes in his book, Traveling Light, he takes his readers on a journey that I want to take you on this morning in our time together. I want to take you on a journey to a place about 99% of us have never been to. I say that because I was about to say 100%, but I think Ted and Brenda actually went on one of these recently, a safari. But our travels are going to take us into a jungle. And I want to have you kind of think with me as you journey in your imagination to that place. Think of it this way. In our home, one of the shows that we enjoy watching is Survivor Man. And another variation is Man versus Wild. I happen to prefer Survivor Man because he really is dropped off and he is completely alone. And he's got to find his way out. I think with my goatee and mustache, I look like Survivor Man, okay? But you know the shows I'm talking about, and if you don't have either of those shows, borrow a copy of Planet Earth and go to some, I have the CDs of Planet Earth, and it's fascinating, some of the deep and dark and mysterious places that those videographers, the people capture for you, and you feel like you're sort of on this journey, and it's an incredible thing to do. Now imagine yourself in a jungle, a dense jungle, a dark jungle, and your friends convince you it was time for a once-in-a-lifetime trip, so here you are. You paid the fare, you crossed the ocean, you hired a guide and joined a group, and you ventured to where you've never ventured before, into thick darkness, a strange world called a jungle. Sounds interesting? Well, let's take it a step further. Imagine that as you're there in the jungle, you suddenly, for reasons you can't quite piece together, find yourself alone. You paused briefly. It was not a long stop, but you had a pebble in your boot, and so you took your boot off. And as you kind of cleared out the pebble, you put it back down and started to lace up your boots. And as you did, the sound of the group that you were with, the chatter of those on this journey, grew faint until you couldn't hear them anymore. Ta-da, first they're just pulling something on you. Then you look around and call out. There's no one there. And you call out a little louder and you, hey, where are you guys? No one. And you begin to think, I got to go find them. And so you start to wonder, did you hear the sound of them disappearing to the left or was it to the right? And you're not quite sure, so you take off to the left and kind of pick up the pace until you get out their ways and realize, no, maybe it was the other way. And you reverse course and go the opposite direction. You stop. And you listen, and there's only sounds of a jungle. No other sounds of people anywhere near you. Whatever the case is, you're alone, and you have a problem. First, you were not made for this place. Hey, you know what? Drop you in the center of a city where there's avenues and streets and buildings, and you can almost blindly sniff your way home. You're familiar there. It's your setting. But here in sky blocking foliage, here in trail hiding thickets, you're out of your element. You weren't made for this place. And you kind of circle around, not once, not twice, but it seems like it's a kind of a frequent thing because you're not sure who might be here with you or what animal might be closing in on you. What's worse, you aren't equipped. Not at all. You have no matches, no knife, no machete, no flares, no food. You aren't equipped, but now you're trapped and you haven't a clue how to get out. Sounds like fun to you? Me either. Now, before moving on, I want to pause and ask you to sort of reach in to imagine how you would feel about now. How would you feel at this moment? Maybe the closest any of us could come to is, as a little kid, a memory of being lost at the mall. And I remember that happened to me, and only it was intentional. My dad, you know, tried to let me feel what it's like to be alone. Given such circumstances, what emotions would begin to surface? With what thoughts would you start to wrestle? Fear? Oh, sure. It's got to be at the top of most of our lists. Anxiety? Sure. In fact, you notice as you look down, you're beginning to shake. You're not cold. It's a humid place, but you're kind of shaking, and your knees are wobbly. There's anxiety. Anger? Sure, at yourself for agreeing to go and at the guys that talked you into it. It's all a flood of things going on. But most of all, what about hopelessness? No idea where to turn, no hunch what to do. Who could blame you if at this moment you sat down and buried your face in your hands thinking, I'll never get out of here. I have no direction. No equipment. And deep inside you, there's this creeping yet growing sense of no hope. Can you just stop the feelings for just one moment? Freeze those feelings that you're sort of brushing up against right now. Can you sense for just a moment how it feels to be completely out of your element? Completely. Out of solutions? Out of ideas? Out of energy? Can you imagine just for a moment how it feels to be completely out of hope? If you can, you can relate to many people in this world. And unless I miss my guess, more than a few in this gathering this morning who wrestle with what to do questions. You're lost. You're out of ideas. And you are tired. For you, the words of Dante, the 14th century Italian poet who described in his classic work, the Inferno, a picture of hell. And he describes the wording of a plaque on the gates that lead into that dreadful place. Abandon all hope. You who enter here. Maybe that's something of what it feels like for you. Trouble is, you live here. And your safari is real and scary. Only the safaris of many of us, the jungles for lots of us, contain real threats like failing health. The threats of a broken heart, the burden of an empty wallet, the dimming prospects of any job coming your way. That's the stuff in a modern world, not in a real jungle, but in our jungle, that begins to suck the sense of hope from our hearts. You face in your jungle a bad boss, or bills you can't pay, or a future you can't control. So when you read my Easter sermon title, Hope is Alive, you're asking a good question if you're asking, how so? How can that be? My world is so contrary to that, Pastor. I mean... Turn on the news. Oh, I do. And I've stopped doing it as often because it's depressing. Hope is alive. How so? It's a living hope. The words that I had you look at and listen to that I read earlier, listening for the linkage, these are words from God to you and to me. Do you realize that? When you and I read words, we were reading words that God intended as his target, your heart. That puts a whole other perspective on this, doesn't it? You might ask, what happened to put Easter on your calendar and on my calendar and hope in our hearts? What happened to cause that was events predicted long, long before they happened. The events that transpired this last week that culminate on this particular morning, Easter Sunday morning, are events that Jesus, you could take your time to look at this, first predicted clear back in the midway point of his gospel, Matthew chapter 16. He told this very thing's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, which he did. We celebrated Palm Sunday. I'm going to go there and suffer at the hands of sinners, and I'm going to be crucified, and then I will rise again on the third day. The suffering and the crucifixion are what Good Friday's about. The celebration, the resurrection, is what today is all about. He predicted all of that, in fact, so graphically, so vividly, that one of the people standing there hearing him say those things tried to stop him in the middle of it. Don't do it. Don't say that. I'll have nothing of that, was his interventionary words. I'm not going to be a part of that. I will not sit by passively and let that happen, said Peter. Who, by the way, these words we looked at, is the author of these words. A living hope. It's called a living hope in verse 3 of those words we read. It must have meant something significant to Peter because he uses the word living hope or living 6 times in this short letter. Because, as I said, he was there when Jesus predicted, and then he was there as an eyewitness to all that transpired, including that glorious morning on the third day when the tomb was empty. He was there. It's called a living hope also because a believer in Christ, that is, someone whose sins have been forgiven and who's been, the Bible says, born again, is the possessor of a sure and certain and rock-solid real hope that this same Jesus who came alive on that particular Sunday morning will also, as promised and as predicted, come back for his people someday. Do you have that kind of hope, I guess, is the question I want to ask us this morning. Do you have this kind of hope? This is the free gift offer of Jesus Christ. He died for your sins and for mine. He rose again. And when he did so, he demonstrated that he had the power and the authority over life's ultimate enemy. Do you realize that? One of my favorite things to do this time of year is to travel around the city and sometimes into Portland, sometimes over in areas where there are grave sites, mortuaries and graves. And you'll notice, perhaps you did as well this year, that as you drive by various cemeteries, you'll notice signs inviting people to come and celebrate Easter in that location. In fact, I've officiated at numerous memorial services in these very cemeteries who now have signs out in front on this particular Sunday morning saying, come join us for a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope that is in him. You know why that intrigues me so? In fact, don't be surprised if the day comes when we change everything we do here, if I can persuade everybody in charge, that we hold our service in some cemetery in our area. Because it's the ultimate statement that the one who came back to life as promised has authority and power over the greatest enemy humans can possibly face in a real jungle or in the jungle you and I live in today. He has the greatest authority and power even over maybe your days have been dark and difficult. The storms of our world, folks, they are strong today. But a living hope is offered to all. And it's offered by the one who died and rose again, Jesus Christ. With him, you can weather whatever comes. Doesn't matter. With him, you can stand strong in any storm. And many of you have discovered that and have been living that out for years since surrendering to him and submitting to him. I came across this wonderfully true description of the kind of steadiness in a storm that Jesus can offer. It's of a woman caught in a frightening storm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on an ocean liner, a big, giant ship. And she, it turns out, had kept all the little children on board, there were many of them, from panicking by telling Bible stories. So you picture this ship being tossed back and forth by these strong waves, and this woman gathering up little children to sit near her as she told them calmly stories from the Bible. A wonderful scene transpires. And after finally reaching the dock safely, though it was most of the trip in question, the ship's captain approached this woman whom he had observed in the middle of the tempest. "How were you able to maintain your calm when everyone feared the ship would sink and all would be lost in this storm?" the captain asked. And she looked up. And as she did, he noted the same quiet peace in her eyes that she had maintained throughout the journey. "I have two daughters," explained the Christian woman. "One of them lives in New York. The other lives in heaven. I knew I would see one or the other of my daughters in a few hours. And it really didn't matter to me which one." That's a calm that comes in a storm because of the living hope, Jesus Christ. In a moment, Aaron and the band are going to sing a song of truth. Jesus saves. I want you to listen for certain words in this song. They form what musicians call a bridge in the song. These are the words: you save, you heal, restore, and reveal. Let me say those again. You save, you heal, you restore, and you reveal. Those words aren't just a bridge, though, in a song that you're about to hear. They are a bridge from the struggles of life to a hope-filled life offered to us by Jesus Christ, the living hope. Rarely does a day go by when I don't hear from a growing number of people who are hurting and struggling, especially in these our troubling times. Some come by to visit. Others reach me by phone or one of the other pastors or overseers. Still others fill my inbox and with emails expressing a variety of struggles and concerns in these troubling times. And I felt prompted along the way to piece together a helpful list of promises from God, really words from God to people in scary times, practical ways through painful days. I want to ask you to reach for something else that you were handed on the way in right now. It's this little brown-looking sheet, Scriptures for the Struggling, Solid Truth for Scary Times. And each one of the 31 that I've just drawn, gleaned from God's Word, every single one of them, not man-made, these are God's truths, God's hope-filled words for folks like you and folks like me. They make up this list of what I call solid truths for scary times. So it's yours and mine, these words, that is, from the God of all hope, because hope, His hope is alive. Let me show you one of my favorite. It ends this list. Flip it over to the back page. Number 31. These wonderful words that I think you will find and maybe even make your favorite as well. But I want you to read them out loud with me right now. So number 31, to give you hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a desire. That's an aim. That's a purpose that God has for you and for me. So take this with you. Before we hear from the band, may I make a request of you this morning? I want you to reach for one other item you also were handed It's tucked into the packet. It's this little card. It says on the front side, "Hope is alive. Jesus saves." I want to ask you to fill this out this morning. Would you take a second, reach for a pen near you, and fill this out? These words are true. They're not just printing on a page. We're really glad you came. And can I just say it? We hope that you'll come back. That's a desire of mine and those in our church here at Grace Point. Many of us keep coming back. But maybe you're here this morning because your jungle has become very scary and very real. And your desire, you can't quite even explain it, but no one's asking you to. Your desire is growing inside you to know the God who makes promises like this. Can I show you one more that I just love? Still on the back side. Look at number 25. Everybody just look at that again. Number 25, God promises to be with you. These are words from Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, when he says, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, notice, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, most people that walk through fire get burned. He says, no. Not with me in your life, you won't. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. How can this be? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. Is that a description of our day or what? Fires, floods, storms, struggles, the jungle. Maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, I need that kind of confidence. If so, we'd like to know about that. Maybe you've made some kind of decision, even sitting here this morning. You've seen, if you could chart your path to get to this point this morning, you've seen God kind of moving you along to this moment. And there's something stirring inside of you. And today, you've made some kind of decision. You can't even put words to it. It's okay. But the decision is that you want to get to know the one who by his mercy gives spiritual birth to anyone who requests. Would you indicate that? I have a desire to follow Jesus. Maybe you're feeling quite overwhelmed today. You sit here this morning and you're feeling the lump because your storms are serious. The jungle is so real to you. You're feeling overwhelmed. And worst of all, you're feeling alone. And these words at the bottom are incredibly important if that's you. You see them at the bottom of this card? An offer, really. Wouldn't you welcome people who care to pray for you? If so, just tell us what to pray about. Flip the card over, tell us on the reverse side. We'd love to be in prayer for you. We promise to. We're going to collect those in a moment. But first, a cool song. A cool song because hope is here. Peace has come. Jesus saves.